Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Josh.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Nah. I don't think that's really important.
It's not important about me either.
Well, what is important then?
I guess this report.
And the fishing and what's been going on out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
that's why it's called a fishing report.
It is. A little bit challenging to go out there today.
It's a little sporty out there.
It was nice and cool this morning.
It was. It was shocking. I didn't look at the news the last couple of days for the weather, so.
And then the breeze picked up.
Walking outside. Yeah, the breeze was picking up last night. When we got home last night, it was pretty peppy, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then it's like, oh, there's a cold front coming tonight.
And peppier it has been getting.
Yes.
So.
Well, it's a combination of the cold front plus the winds being sucked down to that hurricane down in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Which puts us under a small craft advisory. And, you know, what's a small craft?
Relative term, I guess.
What would you say it is? Would you say that a 30-foot vessel would fall under a small craft advisory?
I would say anything under 25.
So,
depending on the boat, but you're going to tell us.
They never give you a number.
Of course they don't.
For what the size is on a small craft advisory.
That's how the insurance companies work.
But understand what a small craft advisory is meant to warn people of. It is not for recreational vessels. It is for commercial vessels. So, a small commercial vessel. Think about a small commercial shipping vessel. Mm-hmm. Or a small commercial fishing vessel. Not a charter boat.
But that's still a commercial vessel.
Okay, but that's not really what they're concerned with here. Think about...
The insurance company is.
The insurance company is, yes. But this is the Department of Commerce that issues these. Remember, NOAA is part of the Department of Commerce, and a small craft advisory is a much larger vessel than you might think it is. Mm-hmm. The closest I've ever been able to pin them down to a number would be, think of a small ship. That's a small craft. Mm-hmm. Not anything that you or I would go out there and drive around. So
basically a 100-footer.
If you think that a small craft advisory does not pertain to you because you spent a butt ton of money and bought yourself a 40-foot Boston Whaler, it definitely pertains to you. A small craft advisory is anything that you or I might ever consider going out and fishing in.
And if you're looking for a charter for hire and they cancel because it's going to be windy out there, that may not be the only reason. It's because if there is a small craft advisory, their insurance can be null and void.
They are not supposed to run. They are not supposed to take you out there. The primary responsibility of anyone who has a merchant mariner credential when they take a passenger out for hire is that you return that passenger safe and intact to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they go out and catch you a mess ton of fish. That is not the primary goal. Your return, whole and intact.
Yes.
So.
But I've had people over the years get mad that charter canceled on me today. We couldn't go canal fishing and stuff like that. No, that's actually a captain that has a little bit of a conscience and doesn't really feel like being sued.
Yep. So, in any event, might be a little bit challenging to go fishing today, tomorrow, and for the next couple days. But you know what? That's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, there will be good fishing weather again. I'm going to wait till then to go out. I don't like fighting the wind. So,
good call.
In the meantime, let's talk about what's been happening and what might be happening when that weather settles out again. Now, of course, we just said there's a cold front here, and I don't expect this is going to be anything like a freeze or anything like that, but it may chill the water just a little bit. Every time we get a little bit more chill, that changes things just a little bit.
Sure.
We're in that time of year for things to change. So, the things that we talk about today are things that happened before the cold front. The things that are going on in the water when you go out next will be after the cold front. It might have been altered a little bit. You want to get mad at us? That's fine. We got big, broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
We can take a little bit of your irritation. But, listen, we're doing the best we can to provide you with information, and we're going to continue to do that regardless of the cold fronts. So.
Right.
Robert.
Yes.
Peace River, Harbor Heights, and Upriver, along with Shell Creek.
Still slow.
But we had a cold front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. The crappie must be biting then, too, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Should be a ton of sheep's head up there on the docks
at
just north I-75.
Mm-hmm. No. Nothing yet. Not too many people fishing up there at all to give me any reports.
But as the water cools,
It will get better.
It will get better.
Usually I don't see that place starting to pick up until like late November, mid-December, and that range is when I start to get more reports. And half of it's because there's more snowbirds coming back, and the other part of it is because it's so windy that people actually start going up there to fish.
Right. So, we'll give it a few weeks. I-75 bridges.
I got nothing there.
All right, the 41 bridges.
41 bridge has been very slow. There has been a few Spanish mackerel and ladyfish coming in, chasing some of the little glass minnow schools and some threadfin schools that are actually hanging around there. One customer did see a couple of tarpon roll, could not hook anything. And a couple of small snook.
Right around the pilings, around the seawall?
Yeah, both.
Okay. Speaking of seawalls, the Lashley seawall. Anybody been over there?
I got no reports from there.
Then we won't even talk about it. The Bayshore Pier and Port Charlotte Beach Pier don't exist. Thank you, Charlotte County. Moving on to Spring Lake Park.
That was a pretty quick jump around on that one. Thanks for nothing, Charlotte County.
Spring Lake Park.
Spring Lake Park, some small mangrove snapper, a few sand bream. People are seeing a couple of black drum. Haven't heard of any catching any, but they're seeing them. And some peanut snook. That's pretty much it.
And if you're seeing black drum and not catching them, what's your advice?
Peel a shrimp and throw it out there like that. Or go spend the big bucks and go buy some blue crabs from your local fish market, because we can't get them.
So take that bait and pitch it out there, weighted so it sits on the bottom, or just freeline it?
I'll put a little split shot on it.
So that it sinks down.
Yeah.
And just pitch it where you think you saw those fish.
Yep.
Because if you randomly throw that shrimp out there thinking, well, there were some over here, so surely they're going to be back, mm-hmm. much more likely you're going to end up with a whiskered fellow on the end of your line.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Let's bring it into the remainder of the salt and brackish Port Charlotte canals.
Sand bream. Lots of small mangrove snapper. A few Mayan cichlids. A lot more little snook starting to show up around people's lights. And then a couple of the canals are still holding a lot of juvenile tarpon that people are just making themselves crazy, throwing everything they can at them.
Yeah. And if you have juvenile tarpon in your backyard, what are you throwing at them?
The smallest thing I have in my box. A little tiny terrorize. A size 6 Rapala. 2-inch or 3-inch storm swim bait. Something tiny.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, we got a bunch of little snook back there, but they are not feeding, and I cannot figure out what they're feeding on because they're not even really popping.
Interesting.
Yeah, she shined the flashlight out there several days ago, and you would have thought it was a school of mullet. There was that many snook that erupted that were sitting right on the surface. And yet, we were out there for 15 minutes just talking and looking up at the stars because there was supposed to be some remnants of a meteor shower.
Yes.
Before she walked over there, and we heard one little pop way under the bridge. And I sat there on the dock, and she walked over there with the flashlight, hit him, and it erupted like it was one. I flipped out. I'm like, did you fall in? Was that mullet? What the heck was that? And she said it was all snook. Walked back over there 10 minutes later, and there was... probably what I could glance and see personally was probably at least 75 little tiny snook from 12 inches to 22 inches, 24 inches tops. Hmm. And then last night, or the next night, there was one. Literally. Same tide. One.
Okay.
And then last night we went out there and there was probably about 15. But they just are not popping. They're not feeding. We're throwing, we're going up and changing a lure every 15 minutes trying something different. I just don't know what they're focused on. It's weird.
Well, fish do what fish do.
I know. It's just one of those strange things. You would think you would find one thing that they might take a shot at.
Oh, and I think you will find one thing that they'll take a shot at. You just haven't found it yet.
Right.
That's why you keep trying.
Need a gig.
Well, yeah, a gig would probably work, but...
Or as Mike would say, a snitch hook.
Or a three-eyed shrimp. But yes. there are some ramifications to consider before you get that level of frustration.
Is that like starving to death?
Let's talk about the El Jabin Bridge. Anything going on up that way?
Yeah, they've actually caught a couple eagle snook there. Been a few better mangrove snapper, but still small. One guy caught two redfish there. And one sheep's head.
Okay.
You know, what else have been through there? There's been some Spanish mackerel caught right in the immediate vicinity of the bridge. And I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. So the several people
fishing them from boats, and, you know, two guys that are actually parking over by the car wash.
Okay.
And then walking down and fishing underneath the bridge. Because the cops are super enforcing all the no parking stuff.
I bet they are.
Yeah, they have no choice. People are jerks and park stupid.
They do. Unsafely.
Yes.
Let's go from the Mayaca, on the Mayaca, from the bridge down to Marguerite. If there were Spanish mackerel at the bridge, I bet there's some down that way, too.
They should be, but I haven't had any reports. The only report I got was on the north end of the Mayaca cutoff. Guy fishing in there caught several snook. One legal snook that he let go, and he caught a couple of little tiny trout and had a redfish up to the side of the boat, and it pulled the hook, but he said it was probably in the mid-20s. He said it was definitely a legal fish, but it was the only one he hooked.
Okay.
He's got a ginu, so he goes back in there sometimes.
Perfect. Good new spot back in there.
Mm-hmm.
The South Gulf Cove canals.
Got no reports from in there.
No reports. How about the west wall?
A lot of redfish and snook up under the bushes. All the mouths of the creeks are starting to really pile up with some good fish. Well, not good fish, but numbers of fish. And they've been getting a couple of pompano on top of the bar. They're skipping more than they're catching, but they are seeing them over there, along with some ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel as you move onto the outside of the bar.
And those ladyfish have been in very big schools.
Yes.
I kept hoping to find some Spanish mackerel in among those ladyfish, and we fished several of the schools, and... didn't turn anything but ladyfish out of them, but I did hear some reports of people catching Spanish.
Yeah, there's been a lot of mixed reports of Spanish all over the harbor, but it's like this guy didn't catch any and worked his butt off. This guy caught some and wasn't even trying for them.
Okay. And if you are having trouble with getting any of those fish hooked, they were a lot less interested in a 3-inch soft plastic than they were in a silly jig or a little spoon. And a little spoon, I'm talking about like a 1/4-ounce Castmaster.
Right.
So not a 1/4-ounce flat spoon, which is almost twice as big, but a 1/4-ounce Castmaster, something small, compact.
Yep.
Because that's what they're hitting, mostly small bait.
Little teeny tiny glass minnows.
The Cape Hayes Bar.
Cape Hayes Bar, what did I got there? I got nothing this week.
Oh, okay. Well, you got me all excited. I'm highlighting it so I could put something in there, and then, no, there's nothing.
Just kidding.
Uh-huh. Turtle and bull bays.
A lot of redfish. Quite a few snook. The redfish are starting to switch over their feeding habits, going into blue crabs and shrimp. They're still hitting some cut ladyfish and pinfish, but... they're definitely starting to focus a little bit more on crustaceans.
Okay.
Your snook are feeding more heavy on the pinfish and crustaceans, more than white bait, unless you want a lot of little guys. There is trout scattered in there. Most of them are small. What else? Guy did catch a Spanish mackerel inside Turtle Bay.
That's not real surprising.
Not super, but not common. It would be the last place I would target them.
Well, if there's bait in there.
Yeah, it's still going to be one of the last places I'm going to go try to target mackerel.
Yeah. Oogie doke. Anything else in here?
Nope.
All right. Moving on. The Cape Hays and Danger Reefs.
Some Spanish mackerel and ladyfish throughout that whole vicinity. I did forget you guys. There was a bunch of trout there out in front between bull and turtle. The guy did really
bigger
good.
Ones?
Yeah. Yeah, he caught several legal fish and he was just drifting, covering a little bit of ground, but he caught, I forget what he said. He said he caught a couple dozen trout and several legal fish.
Okay. Good. How about Gasparilla Sound?
Gasparilla Sound. Probably the fishiest place around. All on the bushes. Redfish and snook. On the open flats, they're catching the trout with a few redfish. Ladyfish. Some Spanish mackerel. An assortment of sharks. People are seeing a few of the adult tarpon that are getting ready to migrate out of here. A couple guys even caught a couple sheephead around some of the oyster patches up inside.
Okay.
And plenty of puffer fish to eat all of your soft plastics, which is the consensus anywhere you go right now, throwing soft plastics on the flats. I don't care which part of the harbor you're in.
Yeah. And what do you do when that happens?
Put on a different bait each time.
Okay.
It's really about all you can do.
Has anybody been using the Z-Mans?
Yeah. Z-Mans are good for about two or three hits rather than just one hit.
Well, still, that means you're using two or three times as many baits if you're using the softer soft plastics.
Yeah, but that's what Mark Nichols pays the puffer fish for.
Of course.
Job security.
That's why he has a puffer hatchery.
Yes.
Over there on the East Coast.
Yeah. Brings them over to Charlotte Harbor every year this time of year.
Yep.
Lets them all go.
Absolutely. The way to do it. Let's talk about the Placida area, the pier and the Boca Grande Pier, of course. Non-functional due to hurricane damage, the Coral Creek Pier is open, but you, of course, can fish the trestle from a boat, and then there's Gasparilla Pass and the general area. So,
lots of snook around all the piers. The broken piers. Thank you, Charlotte County.
I was wondering when you were going to amend that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say pilings. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's docks in the area, too.
They're also catching redfish underneath the docks there. Not much around the trestles, but definitely around the docks, along with a few snook. Mangrove snapper. A few sheep's head are starting to trickle in. And been a few pompano also. That's about it. Well, I take that back. There's been some Spanish mackerel scattered throughout that whole area, too. Because they're getting them from the pass and right around the trestle and the bridges. Spanish mackerel seem to take the highlight this week.
It's a good thing. I like Spanish mackerel. Yeah. The water in this area has also been beautifully, beautifully clear. And we had some big full-size tarpon cruising underneath the boat just between the bridges and the trestle.
Yeah.
Which is always cool to see.
Definitely. That's pretty cool.
I don't know how I try to target those things in there, but...
Throw everything you can at them and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll hit a ladyfish, they'll hit cut bait, they'll hit bait buster. You just never know what they're going to take this time of year.
Yeah.
Not targetable.
Bringing it into Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Milton Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Indian Mound Park, and such associated areas as those.
There's actually two schools of ladyfish up there, redfish. One in the Miserable Mile, and that group of fish is like 150 to 200 fish, because I've had several people, including captains, tell me about them. And then there's another group of redfish closer to Stump Pass. But there is redfish underneath the bushes and some of the docks, along with a lot of snook. People are seeing more than they're catching.
And same up here, they're wanting shrimp and crabs more than they're wanting cut bait?
Definitely.
Okay. And the snook?
They're catching them on shrimp and artificials, but mostly shrimp.
And I'll bet those redfish would take a dead one just fine, huh?
Oh, yeah. They definitely will.
And the snook might be a little pickier?
No. This is the time of year when those snooks sometimes will take cut bait where it's not unusual to hear about it. And even the littler snook will take the cut bait once in a while. They're trying to build up that fat reserve for the wintertime, so usually you start hearing about that in October and sometimes November where you caught a couple of snook on cut bait. It's not something I would target them with, but I'm not at all really super surprised when somebody tells me they caught a snook on cut bait this time of year.
So basically the snook have been listening to Weird Al.
Yeah, pretty much.
Eat it. Just eat it.
Yes.
The Inglewood Anger Pier does not exist, so we'll move on
to the
Gulf bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
What are we doing?
Gulf.
The Gulf?
The Gulf.
Okay.
Yeah. Got anything out there in the Gulf?
Spanish and a lot of kings. I've probably had five or six different people tell me the kings that they caught. One guy caught seven out there. Biggest one was 36 inches, I'm sorry.
How far out
are we? But a lot of them are in that high 20s and 30-inch range. Anywhere from right in Boca Grande Pass, Stump Pass, all the way out to 15 miles. Was another guy caught a few right out there by the Palm Island Ferry. And then several guys up there off of Venice. So getting some good reports.
And how would you be targeting these fish?
Almost every one of them have been catching them trolling. I've had one guy caught off the Palm Island Ferry. He caught two of them just freelining a bait out the back of the boat while he was trying to bottom fish for the snapper. And he had caught a couple of flounder there like 2 weeks ago, so he was trying for them to no avail. But he at least gave it a shot.
Okay. What would you be trolling for these guys?
Spoons, mostly.
Size of a spoon?
Bigger, 3 to 5 inches, like the King spoon or a Jones spoon. I like the Reflecto spoons. They don't troll great, but they work very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Would you troll a skirted bait or anything else, a lip plug?
Yeah, lip plugs work great. You know, you can do the depth-specific lures that are diving down 10 to 20 feet. Those will be perfectly fine to troll back there.
Okay. Those are going to be a little bit bigger than that spoon. A
lot bigger. But still works.
Okay. All right, so Spanish and Kings, anything else out there?
Mangrove snapper and lane snapper, 20 miles to 30 miles out. I've only had a couple reports for that because the weather's still been a little wonky. It was a couple really pretty days, but nobody that gave me any reports on grouper.
Gotcha.
A lot of bait out there, too. People are seeing schools of thread fins and other miscellaneous bait fish.
Would you focus your trolling efforts around those bait fish or more around the structure?
No, I would prefer to troll around the schools of bait or along the crab trap line. Trolling around structure for me has always, it works, but usually they're smaller kings and half the time they get cut in half by a barracuda.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather be more out in the open away from that structure.
Okay. Anything else going on out here in the Big Blue?
Nope.
Then we'll just move our way back in, the Venice Jetties and the Venice Pier.
Lots of Spanish mackerel. A few pompano. And then the jetty has had some snook also, with some sheep's head showing up there too.
When you say sheep's head are showing up,
mm-hmm.
We're going to go target them?
You could target them now. Are they great? No. But are they getting better each day or each week? Yes.
I'm going to put that, getting better by the day.
There you go.
All right. Do we need crabs for that? Can we use shrimp?
Shrimp works perfectly fine. Peeled shrimp works incredibly well. Live shrimp works very well. Of course, everyone thinks you have to have fiddler crabs to catch them, but that's not always the case.
Okay. All right, bringing us to the rest of the passes, starting with Ponderosa down south.
I got nothing from Ponderosa.
How about Redfish Pass?
Redfish Pass, guy caught a couple of redfish, a couple snook, a couple of trout, all right in the vicinity of the pass. He didn't specify if he was right in the pass, but he said he was all around it.
Okay. How about Captiva Pass?
Some snook. Guy saw a couple tarpon roll through there. He caught a couple of trout. He also caught some pompano just on the outside edge of the channel where it drops off in about 15 feet of water. He caught a couple of flounder right there doing the same thing while he was fishing for the pompano. What else did he catch out there? He saw a couple sharks cruising the flat on the outside by the bar. You know, along the edge of the channel, I guess. That's it. He was my one main report.
Gotcha. Okay, into Boca Grande Pass.
Spanish mackerel, a couple of king mackerel. The snapper is starting to stack up in there a little better.
That would be the mangrove snapper.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a few tarpon in there. Guy hooked one while snapper fishing. Leopard rays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. If you were going to target the tarpon?
I would be trying the pinfish. Squirrel fish, if you can find them.
And dropping them deep?
Yeah, definitely.
How deep?
As close as I can to the bottom.
In the deeper sections? In the shallower sections? Or you can actually look for the fish?
I'm going to look for the fish on the bottom machine. Because that guy was fishing in 38 feet of water, and that's where he was seeing them roll at.
Hmm.
So he was kind of in the middle south side of the channel. You know, but no, I'm just going to look for them throughout that whole area and try everything I can at them.
And would you think that's a reasonable thing to go out and do, or is it a crazy person thing to go do?
No, I think it's a very reasonable thing to do right now.
Okay.
I mean, I would give it a 50-50 shot. Yeah.
Okay.
definitely going to see them. Well, maybe not for the next couple days with the wind.
I don't know that you're definitely going to see them.
Yeah. But like the ones that are up in the harbor are getting more and more scattered. So they're definitely not as concentrated. So the pass would probably be... I'm going to look in the usual haunts if I was going to go today. I'm going to look in the usual places here.
Well, and we'll get to that with the Tarpon report. But
yeah. But I'm just saying.
I was just asking you a simple question. You didn't have to go into so much detail. Jeez.
Jesus. I don't give you enough detail. I give you too much detail.
Try to remember the details for later.
Thanks,
when
honey.
When we get to the Tarpon reports,
when's our
okay?
wedding anniversary? Can you, Jesus.
Can you do that for me? Do you think? Can you do that for me? Would that be too hard?
No.
I appreciate it. Walking the Gulf Beach is anywhere between Sanibel and Venice. Surf fishing, casting into the waves, standing on the sand.
Blind pass, whiting, a few pompano, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and snook. And that was pretty close to the same report I got for right down there at Boca Grande also. Except for he did catch one redfish that was oversized.
So, yeah. Fishing all the way down there at the end at the state park?
Yeah, he walked all the way down to the rocks.
Okay. All right. Any other beach fishing?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm sure the other beaches are very, very similar.
One would hope.
So, if you have a favorite beach, that's probably your best bet to try it.
Go try it. See what happens.
Yep. And all of those were caught on shrimp. Every single one of those fish were caught on shrimp because both people that I got my reports from, the one, she and her husband fish it at least twice a week, if not three times a week. The other guy, he fishes it at least 2 to 3 times a week. And they pretty much only throw shrimp.
Live shrimps?
Yeah.
Live shrimps.
Not saying that an artificial or something else might work, but I know that that's mainly what they use is shrimp.
All right. Bringing it back inside, Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, Buzzard Bay, places like that.
I got no reports from down there.
Then we won't write anything. How about Pine Island Sound, Rat and Cat, Mondongo, Patricio, places like that?
A lot of trout out in the deeper sand holes. Along with some Spanish mackerel and puffer fish. And then there has been some redfish and snook up along the bushes. And no shortage of puffer fish.
We said puffers already.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to say puffers?
Mm-hmm. Once again, sorry, not enough detail, too much detail.
All right. Jug Creek Shoal and Pokelia.
I got nothing for there.
How about puffers? You think there's any puffers?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty there.
No reports, but there are probably bunches of puffers.
Yes.
All right. Is puffers the proper plural, or is it puffer?
I don't know.
Bunches of puffer. I don't know. Puffers sounds... It sounds right, but then it also sounds wrong.
Right.
I'm going to stick with puffers. Forget it. I'm not even going to look it up. All right. Burnt Store and Two Pines.
You
What's
will later
going
because
there?
It's going to bother you enough. Nope. You will later.
I'm going to put it right out of my mind until you say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's no inflatable fish around Burnt Store and Two Pines, so I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, yeah. There's none there. That's the perfect spot to go to where you won't get bothered on any of your soft plastics by them.
Yep.
Snook and redfish under the bushes. There's been quite a few sharks moving on the flats throughout that whole area.
Big sharks, little sharks, medium
Both.
Sharks. Attack sharks?
I'm sure some of them would. I saw an alligator crossing there the other day, too, when he was trolling motor his way along the shoreline.
That's cool. Did they say what kind of sharks these are that have showed up on the flats?
The one guy knows they were bonnet heads. The other guy said he saw some bull sharks, but couple of the other guys were like, man, I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Anything else going on over here? Ladyfish, pompano, flounder?
Some trout, ladyfish, and pompano on top of the bar and on the outside of the bar. There should be flounder there, but I haven't heard of any.
Okay. Digging it. Moving north, the east side keys and Pirate Harbor.
Redfish in the back creeks and even out along the front shoreline. And then some snook, mostly all small. And then there's been a handful of small trout on top of the bar with some bonnet heads starting to show up. One guy did catch a short cobia over there the other day. He saw what he thought was two different cobia cruising the bar. And then later that day ended up catching a little one.
Okay.
That's about it. Nothing super exciting, but good.
All right, if you're in the area.
Yeah.
Maybe not a destination, but
right.
If that's on your way, if you came out of Alligator Creek and you're heading south, then why not, right?
Yep.
Speaking of Alligator Creek, Alligator's Creek, Poacher's Cut, and Skating Rink.
There was some redfish just to the south side of the channel there, along the bushes, and even a few out on the flats.
South side of the channel, you're talking about the channel just as you come out of the creek?
Yeah, if you're coming out of the creek, it'd be on your left-hand side heading towards Burnt Store.
Okay.
Guy did catch a couple in his kayak fishing the schools of mullet, so those were out on the open flats, and then several guys got them up in the bushes there. And that's pretty much the only report I've gotten from up in there, those two gentlemen.
So we got stuck in Alligator Creek for about 45 minutes waiting for the fog to lift the other morning. So we putzed around a little bit and cast around a couple of mangrove shorelines, and we could not even lose a shrimp.
Yeah. Did you see the fog yesterday morning?
Mm-mm.
It was
I saw it at my house, but I didn't see it on the water.
Well, I didn't see it on the water. Well, I kind of saw it on the water. I saw it across the canal. I couldn't see the neighbor's house for about an hour.
Nice.
Then it lifted up where it was just a nice outline.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good dense fog. It was enough where it was sweating on all the screens.
Well, the day that we waited in the mouth of the creek, we started to go out.
There was not a drop of fog over here by us that day.
Really?
That shocked me when you told me that it was foggy over there, because there was nothing. Because I had even walked up on the bridge that morning.
And that's what I had noticed.
And looked down the canal.
If I'm driving down to Punta Gorda, because I'm going out on somebody's boat, I always take note of what does the water look like out here. Hmm. And crossing the river, it was beautiful. It was flat, it was calm, and it was clear. But somewhere between Colony Point and the mouth of Alligator Creek, that fog had moved in. And it was heavy enough that we started to go out, and I'm like, okay, we're going to go slow, we're going to watch it, but I think we can go out. We got to the first pair of markers and couldn't see the next pair of markers.
Right.
And I said, nope, forget it. Turned around, went right back into the creek. So it was dense.
Yeah, pretty wild.
But yeah, we did not find anything hanging out in there.
Didn't get told by the police that you can't fish there?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was with that. That wasn't me. That was somebody on the Facebook page.
I actually wrote a comment. I read that, and I'm like, okay, I got to at least answer this after reading several other people's ignorant comments. Like, it made no sense to me. I've never, ever heard of that.
Yeah. And I wonder if it was the police or if it was one of the volunteers.
That's what I wrote for my comment, is that it was probably a volunteer who's misinformed and doesn't know what he's talking about, so call the police department.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to float in the middle of the channel, or worse, anchor in the middle of the channel.
Right.
And be an impediment to navigation. You definitely should not be doing that. But if you're tucked up along the edge there, on one side or the other, I mean, anticipate that there's going to be some rocking and rolling as boats go past and throw a wake at you, where it's perfectly legal for them to throw a wake. And you've decided to fish on the side of the highway. So, yeah, they're not allowed to swamp you or anything like that. They're still responsible for their wake. But you've decided to stay where the wakes are going to be. So, meh. But, yeah, to tell somebody you can't, it's not lawful for you to fish here along this edge? No. The hell?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand it at all.
Unless there's a misunderstanding here and they really were anchored in the middle of the channel.
Which is very possible.
It is possible. You get one side of it. So, I don't know. But don't anchor in the middle of the channel. But if you're anchored up on the edge, you're fine.
Well, and it's no different like when you tell people that they should troll while they're going out of the canals. You know, like, hey, you should troll a little lip plug while you're going out of the canal. And I'd say 50% of them ask you, well, how fast should I be going? Slow speed, minimum wake, so you don't piss off all your neighbors.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to be doing legally.
The speed that you were going already.
Yes.
That's the speed that you're going to troll.
But it's funny. I mean, 50% of people ask that question, and it's like, it's slow speed, minimum wake through the canal.
So you pick a lure that runs good at those speeds.
Yes.
Which for most of you is going to be between 4 and 6 miles per hour.
Through the canal?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
You think they're actually going that fast?
That's a slow speed minimum wake on most of the boats that I go out on.
You think you're going 4 miles an hour through the canal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And see, that's one thing that I try to impress on people here is that
I guess I would have to look at the speed.
I see a lot of people who just kind of ignore what the speed limit is supposed to be, and those people I end up having to slow down. But I also see a lot of people who don't understand the difference between slow speed, minimum wake, and idle speed.
Right.
And they're running at idle speed through the canals. And those guys are going 2.5-3 miles an hour, and it's like, you don't need to go this slow. Let's talk about what slow speed, minimum wake is, and what idle speed is. Idle speed is when you are going the minimum speed at which you can maintain safe steerage. So when we turn the wheel right and left, the boat reliably goes right and left, and it doesn't wander going down to the middle of the canal. And if it does wander, if you've got trim tabs, put those down, and that'll help you out quite a bit. But when you're running at slow speed minimum wake, you've got two components there. The first one is slow speed. How do we define it? You define it as the boat needs to be fully settled in the water, completely off plane. So if you can push the throttle forward just a little bit and watch the nose of the boat rise up, you're no longer fully settled in the water. So come back off the throttle just enough that you watch your nose settle down again. That's slow speed. Now, there's two components to this, though. There's slow speed, minimum wake. So once we're moving the boat at slow speed, turn around, look behind you. Are you throwing a minimum wake? It's not a no-wake zone. You can throw a wake. It's a minimum wake zone. So how do we define a minimum wake? That one's a little bit harder. But if you turn around and look behind your boat and you've got a pretty obvious wake that's running back behind you, well, then you might be going a little bit too fast. Slow it down until you achieve what you're going to consider as a minimum wake, but it's not the same as no wake.
No, every boat's different, too, with its
and
displacement.
And that's it. Every boat's different. If you've got a boat that sits deeply into the water, then there's a good chance that you're going to throw less wake at those higher speeds. Mm-hmm. You've got a boat that just kind of skins the surface of the water. Some of the biggest wakes I've seen out there at these
pontoon
slow speeds.
Boats.
Pontoon boats throw an enormous wake.
Jet
they
skis.
Float high. Because they float high. So, yeah, but it's both of those components that go into it. And you want a minimum wake because you're trying not to damage anything in the canal, whether it's other boats that are out there floating and tied up to docks, or whether it's, you know, undercutting pilings and seawalls. We don't want to do that while we're out there. That's the reason for the minimum wake, and the reason for the slow speed is so that if you do have a collision in those tight quarters, it doesn't do as much damage.
Right.
So you can't say, well, it's not fair. You know, I can throw a minimum wake while I'm running on plane. And some boats actually can do that. But then you need to run at the slow speed for safety's sake.
Right.
So, but yeah, with most of those boats, it's most of them are 4 to 5 miles an hour. Occasionally one that will run at 6 and have that slow speed minimum wake.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, every boat's different. You got to check and see what your boat actually does. Fishing report, that's where we were at, Ponce de Leon Park.
little mangrove snapper and a bunch of people poaching. Thanks, Game and Fish.
Let's see. We'll just copy-paste this from last week. Haven't seen any snookses in there. Haven't seen any big old jackses showing up. Nothing like that.
Not that I've heard of.
Okay. Very disappointing. They should be showing up. How about the PGI canals in Punta Gorda general area?
A lot of little snook. Mangrove snapper is starting to get a little bit better in there. People seeing the black drum. And quite a few juvenile tarpon. Mostly people seeing them too.
Yep. How about the sheep's head?
Haven't had any reports yet.
All right, so we've been seeing a lot of sheep's head in there, and they are getting a little bit better as far as actually catching them. I've had people tell me that they're dropping shrimp down to them, and they're just completely ignoring those shrimp. So they seem to be a little lockjawed right now, but the numbers are definitely improving in there.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me a bit.
The Gilchrist Pier. Oh, right, doesn't exist. Sorry, forgot for a second. Alligator Creek Reef, how's that?
Spanish mackerel. Some ladyfish. A short cobia. And a couple of sharks.
Okay. Know why I spelled these words the way that I did, but several of them were wrong. Had to fix them. All right, the 20-foot holes.
Spanish mackerel. Lots of catfish. Handful of tarpon and sharks.
The tarpon are on ladyfish?
Yeah.
Bait busters?
Bait busters, too.
Targetable?
Yeah, but they're getting harder.
Understood.
They're definitely thinning out there big time.
And that was before this most recent cold front.
Correct.
The bayfish reports.
Everything I'm hearing about is way south down Devilfish, Boquilla. That's where most of your white bait and pinfish are being caught. There are some schools of threadfins out there in the harbor. And I did have a report from he's a fairly new captain that lives, I forget where he's at, out of Burnt Store or Pirate Harbor area. He called me yesterday. And he's been catching some bigger snook on the thread fins, taking them up into the flats and using them.
Okay. How's he getting the threadies?
Sabiking them and cast netting them, depending on where they're at. I prefer to sabiki them because they stay a lot better in your live well.
Right, but if all you're finding is up by the 41 bridge, they're probably not hitting those sabikis.
Not very well.
Okay. The freshwater action.
Picking up. Bass fishing is doing better in a lot of your Port Charlotte canals.
Okay. Live shiners.
Yeah.
Plastic worms?
Plastic worms and lizards.
Any size to the fish?
The biggest one I heard about was about 5 pounds. The picture looked like it was maybe 5 pounds, but it was definitely a nice fish.
Yeah, no, that's compared to how this has been going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, the freshwater fishing reports have been terrible. Just terrible. We sold a lot of shiners last week, but you know, they've been terrible as far as the reports go.
Okay, how about the crappie?
And I don't even know it's terrible fishing. They've just been no reports given to me.
Yeah.
Crappie, they're still catching a couple, but not a lot. But I never hear of a lot because crappie fishermen lie a lot.
Yeah.
They are the worst poker players in the world.
Anything else on other panfish? Mayans, bluegills?
The Mayans and the tilapia. One guy was fishing in some pond over there by Rotunda, and he caught a messload of tilapia, and one was like 4 pounds. It was a good-sized tilapia.
Okay. Anything else to mention there?
Nope.
Then that brings us to the tarpon reports. Now then, you had mentioned that there was some possibility of fish here, so we're going to do a new tarpon map.
Yep.
On this map, the red dots would indicate your best chance of a hookup. Is there any place that I can place a red dot on this map?
No.
Okay. Then we'll move right on to the yellow maps, which are the 50-50s. Worth it.
Boca Grande Pass.
All right. Boca Grande Pass. The inside, the outside?
In the pass itself.
In the pass, just right there between the islands.
Yep.
Kabunk. Yep, there's one dot. Anything else?
Over by the mouth of the Mayaca.
The mouth of the Mayaca, roughly where the 14-foot hole is?
Roughly in that area.
Okay, kabunk right there.
And then that's it.
That's it for my yellow dots.
Mm-hmm.
Just those two places.
Yep.
I can't put a yellow dot anywhere else.
Not, I would say, no.
Not out in the Gulf, not
nope.
Down here.
That's the next dot.
Around the Caloosahatchee, nothing.
That's the next dot.
All right. White dots, less than 50% chance of hookup. Where am I putting them?
On the beach.
On the beach. Where at? How
All
far
of
out?
It. Close to the beach, within a couple miles, I would
within
say.
Within a couple miles of the beach, going all the way up to Venice?
Sure.
And all the way down to the Caloosahatchee?
Yep.
All right. Give me a minute, because it takes me a sec to draw all these dots. Carefully putting one in here. Oh, there's one right there out front of Boca Grande Pass. Oh, look at that. Oh, dot, dot. Bink, bink, boink. Oh, boy, that's a lot of dots. Okay, I got a dot there, and I got a dot. All right, there we go. There's my white dots out in front of the beach. Any place else I can put a white dot?
Alligator Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef. There is a white dot on Alligator Creek Reef. 20-foot holes?
Yep.
All of them?
Yep.
Okay, I'm just going to go down the middle of the harbor because I can't tell exactly where the 20-foot holes are here. So, there we go. Any place else that I can put a white dot?
Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass. All right, let's just do that. Boonk. Anywhere else?
That's about it.
That's about it.
Yep.
Okay. Not in your backyard?
Nope. I have not seen one at all roll.
Because I'll put one there. I'll put one there just for spite.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. Robert. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Can't help myself.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so there's all my dots. And, of course, we are using what for bait here?
Bait busters and ladyfish are the two predominant things still. If I was out by the pass, I'd be trying everything from pinfish and squirrelfish. Thread fins. I mean, I would try to mix it up.
Okay. And if they don't work, try whatever you got.
Yep.
Crabs?
Good luck finding them.
Hey, we saw some big blues paddling around out there.
Yeah, hang on.
All right. I think that pretty well wraps this thing up. Robert's got somebody that he needs to go talk to, which is actually pretty good timing for this. So, yeah. Sounds like it's decent.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Some things are picking up. Some things are winding down. That's what we expect in late October.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to continue as we start to slide in towards November. So
definitely.
Yep. Do you have anything planned for next week's report? Anything particularly scary? I think we're doing it on Halloween. So
nope.
Like to try to
see if my Halloween costume comes in and see if I can wear it to work.
Yeah. I got mine.
I won't wear it to work.
I got mine. I can wear it.
You can wear yours.
I'll bring mine with me.
I won't wear mine.
Yeah. No?
No. I still got one more component to get for it, but it won't be worn anywhere.
The leather skirt hasn't come in yet?
No, it's... Yeah.
It's not a Halloween costume, is it?
Mm-mm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to out you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, this report is over, so why don't you just say goodnight, Robert?
Goodnight, Robert.